The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Live off the record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, so you can call me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel, BTC Flow TV 612. Nassau Cruise Port and Zamar Production present Phil Stubbs live this January 13th. Also performing Nisha LS and Ira Storr and the Spank Man. It's $50 general admission, $75 VIP. Available at BahamasTickets.com, at the Plantation Bar and Grill Caves Heights, and Miniso Mall at Marathon. Doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime, 9 p.m. So pay attention. All righty. I hope you are all doing well again today. There is a fair amount of dialogue about these, the way we began the new year with the spate of murders that we have already experienced 4 days into the new year. And I mean, the level of expression of concern is obvious and, you know, quite frankly, appropriate for us to have. It is, and I read this not just in respect to the Bahamas. I read this in some articles, some scholarly articles, reflecting on other countries. And it's not merely the number of murders they were saying about other countries. It's the way these murders are taking place. They are expressing concerns too, like maybe they are brazen, maybe they're taking place in broad daylight, maybe they represent these kind of gangster-like killings and so forth and so forth. I hear the discussions. I really do. By and large, honestly, many, many of the things being said today in those discussions have been repeated for years and years and years. It's capital punishment. We need to bring capital punishment back. We need to bring back the hangings. We need to bring, you know, it's the home. It's the family. It's the way we're raising our children. This discussion, ever since murder has become like topic 1, 2, or 3 in the Bahamas, there have been these solutions offered for the country. Before I even get to that, talking about solutions, my mind's eye in respect of any murder, not just the 4 that's happened so far this year, the ones that's happened last year, and we had less last year than we had the year before, I believe. So apparently, in terms of the number of murders, we're heading in the right direction. I got that right. But I ask, any murder, why? Why does someone decide to kill someone else? Whether it is a black man or a white man, whether it is a woman or a man, whether it is a rich man or a poor man, whether it is an educated man or an uneducated man, whether it is a lawman or a non-lawman, whether it is a white man killing a black man or a black man killing a white man or a white woman killing a black woman or a black woman killing a black woman or a white woman killing a white woman, why do people murder? Why do they kill? Now, there's significant research around this topic. Contributing factors in people's decision to kill. There is now research that support this emerged out of Japan, I believe it was, that suggests that unforgiveness is actually linked to the structure of the brain. That in people who are more forgiving, there is a portion of the brain associated with emotional control that these people tend to have more gray matter with, and the portion of the brain more related to reacting to pain and all that kind of stuff, there seems to be less gray matter. And then vice versa for the people who are more forgiving, less forgiving, sorry. So to some degree, maybe brain structure might contribute to a person's propensity to harbor ill will, and that can contribute to their willingness to maybe even in the end. There's research that talks about the very structure and culture of a society that may shape attitudes and behaviors that lend themselves to violence in certain ways in certain populations of people, in particular, physically aggressive male populations, in particular, physically aggressive young male populations, in particular, physically aggressive young male populations, less influenced by older, mature male guardians. There's research that suggests that while poverty could have a contributing factor to people's propensity to do certain things, it is sometimes less important than the social structures in which these people, in which people are raised. All of research that informs us. So, and this idea that it's one thing is not supported by what studies are out there being. There are many things that tend to contribute to murders Like, for instance, like, and so these questions, these attempts, they try to look at, okay, so why are serial murders taking place in some countries and not in others? Why do mass shootings take place in some countries and not in others? Why are there some countries with liberal gun policies that are less violent than countries with more liberal gun policies, right? So there's so many things to look at. There are countries that don't have capital punishment, but their murder rates ain't nothing like ours or like many others, right? And so the idea that it's any one thing is a idea that cannot really hold up to scrutiny when one takes on board the totality of stuff that we know can contribute, influence a person's decision. Is there a murder gene? We don't know. Are there certain social conditions that tend to lead to high rates of murder? Apparently so. Do you know that if you look at the murder rate in the Caribbean as a whole, it's very high? The murder rate in Caribbean countries are very high. In the Bahamas, high. We are like 37 murders for 100,000 people. Right? That's how you measure the murder rate. Right? I think Jamaica is 47. Bahamas is like 30 something. And I think it was 39 the last maybe count, the last time I saw something. Right? But in the Caribbean, like the countries dominated by young black populations, where most of the murders take place by males, take place by black males, take place by black males under 40, take place by black males who tend to live in urban parts of the countries, and takes place by black males on black males in these Caribbean countries. Why? So for me, like, as these murders happen, what would be interesting to me, I mean, we're going to try and catch the culprits, right? And the police has like an 80% rate of catching the culprits. It's maybe rate. The question is, like, if you ask them, bro, why did you do it? Why did you do it? Like, I don't know. I know that the University of the Bahamas has done research along these lines, talking to prisoners and trying to get a sense of the profile of prisoners, et cetera. But I don't know that I've ever really seen anything that spoke to that. And again, I think it might be there, but like, why did you admit? Well, first of all, for the people who prepared to admit, that's the problem. That's part of the challenge, right? So that's part of the challenge is even folks who've been convicted of murder, that's enough. They don't necessarily say murder. They just have been convicted on the basis of the evidence. So you would have to find people who have fessed up to it and then ask them, well, why did you? And so maybe that's part of the difficulty is most people don't fess up to having done so. Why did you do it? We all get angry. And all anger is tied to pain. All. Someone hurt me. And physical pain can lead to anger. And emotional pain and lead to anger. Now, emotional pain is different than physical pain. Yeah. See, with physical pain, in time, you really can't feel that pain anymore. You can remember that you were painful. But trying to feel that pain again is not easy for somebody. The wound is healed and so forth and so forth. You can see the trauma of it. You can remember that it was traumatic. You could remember how that it was painful, but the physical pain fades. Emotional pain has no time context. That's why someone who said something nasty to you today, you can remember it 15, 30 years from now, and it hits you, shoots you in the heart the same way, triggering the same pain centers in the brain the same way as when it first happened, unless something you do something about it that rewires that portion of your brain that was affected. Emotional pain is like the worst. It has no time context. No, none whatsoever. It doesn't fade over time unless dealt with in time. But we all get hurt physically and emotionally. We all get hurt. Some of us, though, most of us will decide, even if we decide to fight, we might fight. That's it. We row, we cuss, we storm out, we walk away, we cry, we yell, we shout. Most of us, that's what most Bahamians do. That's what most Bahamian men do. That's what most Bahamian black men do. That's what most Bahamian black young men do. That's what most Bahamian black young men who live in urban areas do. Most of us do nothing beyond, but worse, a fight and fight. Most of us do not. Can I say that to you again in the Bahamas? Most of us go no further. No further than at worst, some physical altercation. Most of us. And there are tens of thousands of us. Tens of thousands of us in the Bahamas. And most of us never do anything more than simply fight, row, yell, scream, etc. A small percentage of us, small percentage, maybe less than 2% will decide. This hurt I feel, this pain I feel, this that is drumming up this anger in me, this I am going to try to satisfy this. I am going to try to relieve this. I am going to try to mend this by taking your life. So now I'm going to do that. A small percentage of us will do that, and the result is the hundreds of murders that have happened over the years in this country. Not more than 200 at a time in a year, maybe 150, 160 in any given year at the height, maybe even less than that. And so if you even attributed 2 men to them, that's 300 out of tens of thousands of males in the Bahamas. Very, very small percentage. Nonetheless, though, the fact of the willingness of any small percentage of us to do this makes every single one of us feel at risk of being victims of this. And that is the universal fear recognize the possibility, the existence of any murder makes probable, I mean, makes possible the existence of every murder. And that is what frightens us as a society. That is what frightens the people who may come to us as visitors, because the percentage is small. But I don't know if I will be a party, a small percentage. And this is the tragedy beyond the taking of life. He said, people say, well, you know, these fellas are known to the police. These fellas are out on bail. These fellas are involved with this, that, and actually that is true. I mean, some instances for sure and so forth. But still, one never knows that having not been involved, having not been a part, I don't know that in my coincidental presence in a location, I get caught up in that which did not involve me. And lo and behold, my child is dead. My child is wounded. I am dead. I am wounded. And so the fear becomes real still across the universal population. Murder anywhere makes us think that there can be murder everywhere. And so there's no easy way. There's no rational way to simply just let it go. Because we have to be concerned about it. When we come back, we continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be right back. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track, suit your financial situation, and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4 in Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Talking about murders that take place in the Bahamas. Who are the murderers? who are these murderers? Who are these murdered? Now, it's easy to think of them now. Their photos, you know, their profiles and what have you now in the moment of the circumstances, right? But I, as I move through the society, especially if I end up around schools and I see 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds, I look at them. This is the God honest truth. I look at them and I try to project forward and think to myself, one day they shall be men and they shall be women. And then I try to think from the men and women now, I think one time ago, they were the 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old. And it is not typical. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's not typical that you would look on a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old and say, there goes the next murderer in the Bahamas. You always think there goes the next murdered, likely murdered in the Bahamas. You see in their faces, in their persons, all you see is such possibilities, such open possibilities, such potentiality. But in point of fact, the murderer, you know, the one who decided in the walk through the anatomy of the murder, of the murder by the murderer. Sitting somewhere, this person, this man, this young man, somewhere, somebody's child, he has a mother and has a father, right? He has siblings maybe, right? He has friends. He eats, probably, likely, tuna and grits, sardine and grits, egg and broth, pancakes, Cap'n Crunch, cornflake. He eats mangoes, tamarind. He goes and watches movies. He watches basketball games. Maybe pulls for the Miami Dolphins. He maybe even went and goes to. Something happens, a deal gone bad, insult gone too far, a breach of trust, or something happens, and he and maybe others, he alone or him and others decide. Maybe you can't let that stand like that, right? It's a decision now. This happened at a point. This happened at a point. We say, well, he should have got capital punishment. He may have been ripped right up by mommy or daddy for being rude on occasions. Surely he was maybe told about Jesus Christ and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Maybe even about Islam. He went to school. He went to school, primary school, high school. How did teachers say, "Mind you better mind your books"? Maybe even passed in his school book. Say, you know what, boy? That can't stand like that. I have a piece. You have a piece. So now think about it. You don't just up and go. You have to plan. How we can get there, what we can use, where are the people who we are going to go do this to, where do they hang out, how we can make our approach. All of this has to play itself out. And then, mind you, no doubt, heart racing and pumping, adrenaline pumping. By this time, the limbic system of the brain is probably most at work. Or more the reptilian brain is most at work. That's the that bypasses reasoning and what have you, and just flee on anger, hurt, fight or flight. And then when the moment comes, that decision has to be made. Or was it already long made? I can do this. Why? Like, why? Why is it so doggedly determined in this way? I have to do this. Is this a question of my survival? Is it me or them? Or is it a question of this hurt I feel, this pain I feel, this insult, this offense I feel is so tearing me apart? I need to do something. Then the fateful hour comes. I made that fateful decision. Yeah, that's another human being, but I didn't see him like that then. Or maybe I didn't care. Blah. Now it's done. Now what of me? Do I celebrate? Do I go someplace and chill out? Do I medicate myself with drinks and drugs? Or what do I do? Do I medicate myself with the group think of me and my boys? Persons, people. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
All of the above that you spoke to is, from what I can see, the characteristics of why a person would want to commit those heinous acts of murder. Like you said before, in talk shows pertaining to the first murder between the two brothers, it will always be with us. But the penalty for murder can and is a deterrent. But the lack and the will not to act gives a feeling of hopelessness. And therefore, it causes what we are hearing stirring. Oh, it's four, oh, it's three. One is too much. One is too much. But the human nature, the Adamic nature, just as you said before in previous statement, is at fault. We can go down the rabbit hole scientifically, thinking and hoping and new scientific research. But if you got hate in your heart, that a man can turn that. Only God can. Only God can turn that. If there's hate, not that stuff. The outcome is murder. And I won't even talk about character assassination. That's murder too. So that's my thought on the matter.
You see the words character assassination.
Yes, sir. It ain't the act of killing a person, but it demeans and it takes away privileges or it takes away benefits that or substance that could have caused that person to have a better life. And some folks they don't think of that as that, because you see it in social media every single minute, all day, every day.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been very, very, very angry?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know how that anger will be said.
Chief, I see blood, only blood. I feel the blood in my brain. I feel the fire.
And let me ask you a question. Someone obviously angered you that way, right?
Absolutely.
And why did you not hurt or kill them?
Because of God's grace and mercy. Because I wanted to be obedient to the scriptures. And I had, and I asked the Holy Spirit to give me the strength to divert me, because I am not immune to murder. I could murder. I know I can.
I think every single one of us can, actually.
Everybody can. And we've been fed a steady diet through the lyrics, through the songs, through the media for murder and for many other chaotic things. But some just choose to act on it because of weaknesses of influence from friends, influence from circumstances,
but everybody gets influenced. Every one of us gets influenced. So we all can get fed this diet of TV, of movies, of radio, and so we've all been there. We've all watched Straight Outta Compton or some other gangster movie and stuff like that. I love dramatic stuff like that. I could tell you. I mean, I've watched my share of them, but. But the question for us becomes, why, if they are influencing these some people to murder, why those people and not us?
From my humble opinion, from what I see, some people are in an environment that it festers, the hopelessness of it. I can't get out. I can't see a brighter day. I have to do this because everybody, my friend doing it, his friend doing it, such and such and so, my mother doing it. It's very troublesome. It's very troublesome.
Yeah, so you're sitting, whatever it is. We don't know if it's the home life or whatever, but you're sitting in a soup that's cooking your attitude and perspective and belief and life, right? That's what you're saying.
Cooking it.
Okay. I appreciate you calling, man. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen,
you
listening
Commander.
To Z-Live, I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody.
At the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m. Showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
As we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists, you're raking and scraping with Ira Storr, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be. Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome. Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're talking about the murders that occurred occurring in our country. You know what I always fascinate myself about? So you watch some of these videos and see these murders play themselves out. So fella, I mean, goes back, make sure the man dead. Okay, this is blood gushing out. This is people, man, people's lives are gone. Whoever they are, don't make no difference. They're gone, right? You people then form this image in their head about the person that did the murder. Oh, he's a thug. He's a gangster. They don't care about nobody, you know, so forth and so forth, right? Then they get arrested, right? If that's the person, right? Sometimes we have it on camera so you know that's the person. They get arrested. Police officer. Go this way. Yes, sir. You go before the court, the judge. How you plead? Your Honor, blah, blah, blah. You did it? Yes, sir. Did it? Yes, sir. Not raging, but you all don't talk to me, don't say nothing to me. Da 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 da. No, no, no. No, don't get that. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Same human beings. Different behaviors. Capable of different behaviors. So it isn't, we cannot start throwing across these broad statements, oh, they ain't get no upbringing, they needed to be disciplined, etc. Because I assure you, in most instances that we have seen, have you ever seen, y'all are listening to me today, have you ever seen anyone arrested, eventually convicted of murder, going in front of the courts, going in front of the police, and just acting like pretty gangstery? I've seen some folks, they have that stare and have that almost look of defiance for sure, right? But from start to finish, just the rudest, baddest, biggest, bullish-ish person. Have you ever seen that? And then we come in after the fact and we say, oh, they didn't have no upbringing, etc. You could listen to their parents sometimes, and their parents would say, you know, some parents said, I could see that boy was heading the wrong direction, hanging in the wrong ground. Some parents say that. It ain't so simple. You think Cain did look like he was going to kill Abel? Did Moses, when he killed them two Egyptians? It's very, it's just not as simple. It's just not so simple to put it at this and put it at that. You know, it's just not so simple. His text says, Mr. Lang, playing politics when it comes to murders and crimes are wrong, even though it may influence the populace to vote for your party. We all must come together to help curb this crisis we're in. I agree with you 100%. Mr. Lang, the youths are a product of the media. Listen to the music. It is the main influence. It's so stop worrying about who is not and worry about who is and why. Okay? This text says, by the way, the Bible gives the prescription. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Spent water. It calms you. I can tell you one thing. You are absolutely on to something. The environment that you are in certainly can influence the mindset you embrace. That is very true. Very true. That there is something to be said for a household of calm. Something to be said for a household of openness, something to be said for a household of lovingness, sir. Something to be said for friends who are nurturing and sharpening as opposed to provocative and so forth. There's something to be said for being able to connect with nature. There's something to be said for being able to calm your spirit after anger and arousal. There's something to be said for being able to acknowledge when you are hurting and when you are in need of comfort and need of someone else to share. If there is something to be said for that, for sure. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Maybe they can hear you. I can't hear you, Paul. I'm not sure what's going on there. This text is, Mr. Lang, when anger takes control over you, it is also a lack of training in the formative years. You know your children, that you discipline them differently according to their personality. I look at my grandkids, and one would rule you if you allow her. Same thing, boys all brought up in the same house, but one has a temper, so you have to steer them in the right direction. I also note that kids who have had all the training can go astray, but eventually catch themselves, so to speak. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. 100%. 100%. People grow up in the same households. See, because you and I grew up in the same household doesn't mean we are experiencing all together the things we are that are happening the same way. See, this is the mistake we make, right? For instance, you receive stimuli with your eye, but you receive with your brain. You receive stimulus on your skin, but you interpret what you feel on your brain. So there, you don't know that the stimulus that is affecting you and me in the same house is being interpreted by our brains the same way. Generally speaking, we could say it tends to. But some of us, and we can talk about this a little bit more. Life tends to be about the stories we tell ourselves. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Go
How
ahead,
are you?
Caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Lang. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, sir. I this murder thing. Let me say one more thing on this. If you hear some of the conversations these little 7 and 8 year old little boys is be saying, they have to be hearing this from someplace else. They're being influenced by, I don't know if they're hearing it from their daddy, their uncle, their big brother. They're telling you how they can shoot you in the head. And these little boys know more gun than me as a big grown man. They can name up more gun than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they know all the gun slang, how to do the this and do the that. But let me say mm-hmm. something, Brother Lang. A lot of us are confused. Mm-hmm. A lot of us believe hanging is to stop crime. Hanging is not to stop. Hanging is for the punishment for the crime in which you did for murder. Hanging ain't to stop murder.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing to stop murder. Because if I decide, then I go this place, I can do this. Only me as an individual can change that. I got to say, well, I can do it no more. If my mind is made up to do something, I can do it. So don't let the people get distracted talking about hanging. Hanging ain't to stop no murder. Hanging is for the punishment for the crime in which you did. That's all it is.
When
you run
the
red light, you pay a penalty. Then you shoplifting, you pay a penalty. Hanging is the penalty for the crime.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you calling back. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Sir.
Well, we know hanging don't stop murder because we hang people in the country already. Several people over the years, and we still have murder. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to catapult your business into the spotlight? Introducing Guardian Business Boost.
Ignite your success, and it's absolutely free to join.
Did you say free?
Yes. Free Guardian Business Boost is not just a program. It's your ticket to unprecedented visibility and growth. The Guardian Media Group is committed to helping the Bahamas prosper by creating new opportunities for small businesses who are the key drivers of that growth.
How does it work?
It works by first registering your business with the Guardian Business Boost at thenassauguardian.com. Then, each month, Guardian Media will pick and boost 5 businesses with 1 month of free ads across our multiple advertising platforms. the Nassau Guardian newspaper, website, Guardian Radio 96.9, Star 106 hit platform. Catapult your business into the spotlight with Guardian Business Boost. Sign up for free today at thenassauguardian.com.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325. 4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 242-300-5720. Sorry, you can call us from the Family Islands on that number, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, as I listen to some of the suggestions about what is to be done about this, about the murders. And I mean, like, there is genuine, authentic desire to get the murders down. Whenever I hear people say we only simply have to, I always think to myself, well, you obviously do not understand the complexity of what we are dealing with, because if it was that simple, I don't see how God don't get it right at the beginning. I just don't see that. It's that simple. If it's that easy, if the solution is capital punishment, if the solution is raising your children right, if the solution is if that's all it took, well, God was just like hapless in doing anything about the murders that happened under his watch. And ain't that simple? Human beings have free will. Choice, that being somebody's heart policing it, even with all the greatest parenting on planet Earth, you reduce, I think, the probability significantly that somebody will go and do something terrible. But you can't prevent it by that. It's more complicated than that. Also, when I hear some of the solutions, I think to myself, okay, so if you talk to parents and say, you know, you have these children, you didn't know where these children are, you need to, you know, mind these children, you have to, so forth. True. All of that is true. That gives you no solution for the child, the person who is today 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Ages in which we know most of the people who have been murdered and who murder or alleged to have murdered. So they don't have parents who can send them to bed. They don't have parents who can basically tell them what to do. Yes, they can tell them, but their compliance is a matter of willingness as opposed to mustingness. Right? So some solutions, even if they work, will take years into the future to manifest. And that's great. That's necessary too. But there is the problem of that percentage of people, men and male and females, mostly males, mostly black males, mostly black males in New Providence, mostly black males in New Providence who today, between 18 and 35 years old, have not merely the ability to kill, but the willingness to do so. What is to be done with them? If you want to stop them from killing as a matter of fact, what is to be done with them today? Where are they as a matter of fact? Do they look like somebody that has murder on their forehead? What is to be done with them? So approaching them is a much more nuanced issue. Much more nuanced. Right? If they're gang members, that's one thing. If they are drug dealers, that's one thing. If they are just smelly hotheads, that's another thing. And where do they live? All of them don't live in one little corner in one little house. They are all over the place. So dealing with them is a little bit more nuanced an issue than some of the suggestions we have heard. So we need capital punishment, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 year old. I'm talking about corporal punishment, corporal punishment, 18, 19, 23 year old. Capital punishment only kicks in when you didn't do the murder, crime, and been convicted. So you didn't solve a murder by that. You just executed justice in that. That's after the fact. Right? And the threat of it, can deter, certainly don't seem to deter everybody. As a society, we're doing some things right in the way we are raising ourselves and our, some things are clearly because the majority of us are not participating in this stuff, but there's some individual choices. That's what I wanted to get to. Individual choices being made here. And our choices are often shaped by the stories we tell ourselves. The story you tell yourself about this world, about the people in it, in other words, the thoughts you have about the world, the conditioned emotional responses you have to those thoughts form your ego. And that ego will shape your choices in this world. So someone has a thought. There is a God. His name is Allah. Some say his name is Yahweh. Whatever his name is. We tell a story. Our God will not smile on me for doing wickedness and evil. I don't want, the story we're telling ourselves, I don't want that God to be angry with me. Because the story I tell myself is that if he's angry with me, he won't bless me. And if I die having displeased him, he will condemn me to an eternal hell. That's the story we tell ourselves. I don't ask me whether you believe it or not. And so that story leads them to behave in ways that doesn't offend their God. Some people have told themselves the story, I am a Ferguson, let's say. And my parents have brought me up to respect other people, to respect my elders, and we Fergusons will not shame or embarrass our families by stealing or hurting people or raping anybody or killing anybody, because we will not bring that shame on our family, all that our Ferguson parents have done for us. So when we go out, we are mindful to be respectful, having regard to the story we told ourselves about the way we want to bring pride to our parents. Some people have told themselves the story, listen to me, I grew up in this house, and these people in this house ain't nothing but a bunch of thugs. They treat me bad, they talk to me bad, they treat me like nobody. But people don't matter, but people don't love you. Nobody loves you. You gotta take care of yourself, but you gotta be there for yourself, but you have to do them. And that's the story some people have told themselves. And their ego is attached to that story. And so when it is time to make choices about what to do about a thing or what to do about a person, the story I have told myself kicks in. So every day, folks, in the mind of some person, a story is being crafted. A narrative of the world is being crafted. The way it works, the way people are, the way I am, the way things go. How you get things, how you don't get things, how you lose things. Stories are being told. And those stories, believed as they are to the hilt, will shape the mindset of the soul who, when the situation arises, mind you, that story might not be, that story mightn't have been, I will murder someday. That's not the story. But the story is if you get in my way in this way, I will take you out. Because that's the story of my life. As Texas and Salang, it's the mindset of the people that I feel is the biggest problem. Therefore, we are unable to resolve issues rationally. There's no regard for life, not even their own. So my questions are, why that mindset? The stories we tell ourselves? Developed over time in ways we couldn't even fathom sometimes by little small experiences, sometimes very big experiences. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Lang. Thank you for listening to me. You know, from a law enforcement point of view, Google has just developed a remarkable experience. This individual, I want to now call it, that can analyze your sentiment. And if the police were to employ it, because, you know, you just have to pass legislation to just randomly filter in and listen to what's being spoken and the coding over the phone and so forth, you would probably be able to foil something like this before it happens, because Google has the tool. But let's not, you know, go too much there. But what I'd like to say, Mr. Lang, is when we celebrate a birthday of a pedophile, something, you know, he's having a big birthday party, everybody knows that he's a drug lord, a pedophile, and the whole nine yards. Are we celebrating the person that he has every over the year become so deviant? Because we are celebrating his birthday. And he's a demonic spirit that we are celebrating because he has a party and like individuals attend. Because those are the persons who are in the sphere of his influence. So when we celebrate a birthday, why not try it this way? Let's assume now, because I have to be careful saying this to you because you're going to get at you. I know I might touch it, but let's assume there were two of you, all right? Like prodigal son, there was one that was left. He stayed in heaven, and there was one that came down to experience the pleasures of the world. But let's suppose now that prodigal son, the one that stayed in heaven was the one that was conceived in the mind of God, and the one that came out was the one that was born, birthed on earth. So they say 9 months apart. Now, he comes out, and he becomes the worst criminal there is, but he dies. when he dies, God shows up with the son that stayed in heaven that did the complete opposite that he did on earth. That's going to be his hell to now spend the rest of his life with the perfect one that he was and the devil that he became. Suppose we teach kids stories like that.
All right. Thank you, brother. Man. Appreciate you calling. Thank you. This text says, Mr. Lang, last day, get catch with the gun life. No long talk and solve all the solution. Life point blank. I'm not sure I understand that. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing, sir?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
I'm happy New Year to you and your family, sir. You know, Mr. Lang, when we, our country was shocked by the incident yesterday, but Mr. Lang, if you give me a minute, let me give you a quick scenario. When I was a young man, I graduated from Governor High in June 1970. My first job after that was on Robertson Road, learning dental technology, the making of false teeth, gold teeth, and all that type of stuff. It was very interesting, and I wish, but it was boring to me. It was three guys in a room just carving teeth and making these things and then delivering it to the dentist. But I was more like customer service oriented, you know. I was more, that was my field. So I took a break from the dental technology, and I just told my cousin and Mr. Ernest Benaya that I had enough of that. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I can take a break. And I started hanging on the blocks with the guys, like most young teenagers around there in the 70s. And then one thing led to the next. I got into smoking of reefer. Didn't go into cocaine or nothing heavy. Into the smoking of reefer, or we call it marijuana at that time, with the guys in the blocks. Then I moved up to pushing drugs. Not a dealer. I would just go buy from the dealer, and then I'd push it in the neighborhood. Then, Mr. Lang, I heard that the police was looking for me because I was a pusher. So I sold my car, left the country without letting my parents know, and I went up to Harvard University where my brother was studying to be a civil engineer. When he came home from school one day, or from work one day, he met me on the steps. Said, what you doing here? Told him the story. I was running from the police. He put me to work right away. I was up there for about 8 months, 6 to 8 months. And then he was trying to get me enrolled into Harvard University, where I wanted to be an architect. But I decided I was going to change my life. I was going to head back home. I came back within two months. I was working at Deltec International, Cumberland and Marlborough Street. I said that to say this, Mr. Lang. I decided to stop the reefer and stop the because it was against the law. I didn't want to embarrass my family. I didn't want to go to jail. So I started to say, well, I'll drink a Heineken and smoke a Rothman cigarette. And I moved up and I just elevated myself from there to this day. Never went back to the marijuana and so forth. So these children today, I was just talking to Mr. Langley the other day with a friend of mine, you might know him, politically motivated person. You know what he told me? That the British left here, and they left us with rules. One of the rules was hanging for murder, and the other rules that they used to enforce. Then the black people took over, they let go of all of the rules. First they kicked hanging out the door. And then we made all kind of rules. We still making rules in the House of Assembly. But then we slacked the rules to the point where the prison is full of people. They can't house all, so they put them out on bail, and they put murderers out on bail. And when the murderers come out with ankle bracelet, the guy cousin, the fellow through the guy's blocks, the fellow family, waiting on him. And we don't see what's been happening in our country. And the person was telling me, and a well-known PLP also said, the PLP and the black government has failed when it comes to carrying out the law of the land. If you're supposed to be hung after, and they found that Mr. Lang's son went out there and brutally murdered somebody with an intent to kill, you go into the loop. And when we used to have that run here, very few murders used to be in this country. People were scared to go to jail. They were scared to be caught because they know they can dangle from the neck and a horse could drop you in a grave off Soldier Road. Called, see me no more. They got a funny name in the grave. with no name over it, and no family can move that. You just gone down as a prisoner was hung. We have slackened the rules in this country, and everybody gets away and everybody, and everybody uses the word corruption around my country, and I never used to hear that when I was growing up. We say everybody corrupt down there. We say the religious people corrupt. The social leaders corrupt, and our political leaders are corrupt. Even the children saying that. And that has to change. And our leaders need to come to the country and to the people. And I would think it's time, it's time for a national address and put fear in these young men's hands and my head that if you are caught, you can dangle from that noose. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs live at the Amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi LS, and Ira Store and the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music, sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admissions, $50, VIP, $75. Sky Pods also available. Get your tickets now at BahamasTickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, folks. Don't miss it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruise Port. The place to be.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I think we have a call on the line still. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we still have the caller? I think maybe we missed you. Sorry about that. This says if you get capped with a gun, automatically.
Hello?
Oh. Hello? Yes, go ahead, sir. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Z Live.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, man, everything good. Hey, Shawago, see, this violence isn't just germane to us, you know. This really a world thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they're looking at a son stab up his father. You know, right across the board, I see a 13-year-old boy stab up his mother with his little 6-month-old little baby sister right in the crib. And he stabbed her 47 times. See, Chihuahua, see, Satan powerful, you see? Satan temptation so powerful. If you don't really I'll say from 0 to 8 or 10 years old, if you are rooted in that Sunday school foundation, if you really like know God, like you know that God real and it is a God, if you come up like without no Sunday school foundation or no knowing no God, like Satan can tempt you easy to do foolishness. Hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Hello.
Hmm.
Hello.
Yeah, man, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, because in the evening time when I reach home from wake, I sit down and turn on the TV to channel 7 news. Man, and then there's pure violence, pure shooting. This one gets shooting in front of the two children. That one, this wedding reception gets shoot up. See, like Dr. B is be saying all the time, you know, like that you gotta be rooted in that church foundation from young man. You gotta let them learn the Ten Commandments and know that. Because I see some young, like on the blocks, I had a little touch of the blocks and things. And I saw some of my friends, like Woody, even a Christian in church. I know, you know, nothing but God. Like, they don't believe in God and they don't say nothing, so they get mighty easy like that. You see, if you're enough to fear God and know that it is a real God, is real, and you have choices to make, and you could end up, you have choices to go to heaven or hell, or, you know, you could end up in fire for everlasting life, and you could be, your soul could burn forever. If you end up that rooted in you, I mean, Satan could tempt you easy, but you could be tempted easy. I trust me, because in my 54 years, if I wasn't rooted in that foundation, that Zion Foundation, Friendly Palmer Boys Brigade, that Charles C. Smith Foundation, Zion East and Shirley Street. If you ain't really had that on the blocks, I could have been tempted to do a bunch of foolishness, house breaking, raping, robbing, being in the gun, freaking out on gun, smashing this one down. So I could have picked up that type of life too, but I have a fear for God. You see? I have a fear for God. I don't want to end up in hell. You see? So if you ain't have that, ain't nothing happening, son. Ain't nothing happening.
Can
you got to have that faith.
Can I read something that supports what you say?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so this is a Washington Post article. This says the United States saw about 25% more homicides in 2020 than in 2019, based on the largest single year increase in homicide rates since reliable tracking began in 1960. The current rate of 6.2 homicides per 100,000 residents, if the same 25% increase applied, the last year's rate is the highest recorded in the United States in more than 20 years. Now, here's what I wanted to read for you. The reasons for the large increase in violence are a matter of speculation and are likely to remain poorly understood for years to come.
Yes. Yeah, man. I see it's fine. If you ain't have the fear of God, if you ain't believing in no heaven and hell and ain't no God or nothing, then you could go out there and do all type of foolishness, man. Satan can tempt you easy. So this ain't really germane. That this is a world thing, man. This is a world thing. You know, and the more they turn their back on God, the worse they get. That's all I got to say, man. That's from my experience.
Thank you, my friend.
I have a nice
appreciate
afternoon.
You too, man. You too. Thank you. Yeah. I believe faith matters. I really do. Even though I tell people all the time, Cain didn't have to have faith. Cain had knowledge of God. Cain left a conversation with God and gone and killed his brother. Lucifer was in heaven looking at God on his throne and saying, you know what, I think I could take him, you know. So if knowledge can't keep you from offending God, faith altogether sometimes may not be enough. If your mind is made up to act in a way that you want, even contrary to your faith. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Good day. I totally agree with him, you know. It's like you need a foundation. You understand?
Yes.
And God is the foundation. So when you have that foundation, you would always have some. That's why the Bible, you train up a child in the way he should grow, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So that the gentleman said he could have done this, that, the next thing. But because of the foundation that he had, he didn't stray too far. And a lot of times you have younger parents, as they as the parents get younger and younger, the children just seem to be lacking in that area, because that particular parents probably didn't get much of it themselves. So as generations pass, they get less and less interested in the Word of God.
But let me ask you a question, though, because according to a study done by the University of the Bahamas, many of the people in prison were asked what faith they belonged to. Many of them claimed Christianity as their faith. They claimed to know to be either Baptist or Catholic or Anglican or Assemblies of God or whatever else. So these were not people who were not familiar with the gospel of Jesus Christ, et cetera, but people who nonetheless found themselves in prison.
Okay, so I guess the only thing left then would be what the Word of God says. And the last is fathers against sons, mothers against daughters. You know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars and so on and so forth. So I guess...
I submit to you that it's more fundamental than that, because knowledge of the Word is not what cures behavior. Because all of us have been there. Lots of us know the Word, but we have violated or disobeyed God in offensive ways. The Bible says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? And how does it say? By taking heed to the Word of God. It's not the knowledge of the Word that does it. It's the heeding that does it. So unless you are prepared to obey what you know, knowing doesn't cure you.
True. Agree.
It still boils down to whether in the moment of your temptation, in the moment of your trial, in the moment of your frustration, in the moment of your anger, are you prepared to listen to that small voice saying, bro, you know this wrong. Don't do it. And if you're not, you kill. If you are, you don't kill. And most of us are, so we don't kill.
Exactly. I can't agree more, because that it all boils down to that small voice and that choice which God freely gives us.
That's the bottom line. It's not. Yes. It's the willingness. See, and let me tell you something. You have to practice it of obedience.
Yes.
Right. That's it. Let me say it again. It's true for all of us in areas of our life. So we're not the murderers, but we lying. We're not the murderers, but we stealing. We're not the murderers, but we hating people, we envying people. So the way we have to practice repeating to cleanse our ways. That's the only way. It's every day at a time. And when you fall and mess up, get right up and quickly get back on it.
And start over again.
You see? So what happens when you do that is, in that moment when that temptation comes, when that trial comes, because your moral muscle has been exercised sufficiently, you at least have a greater propensity to say, you know what, I ain't doing that. I ain't fooling with that.
Yeah.
I want to, but I ain't going to do that.
And so sad, though, it's at a point right now, you wonder if you can reach some of these young men. You know, if they, I know they're somewhere in them that it's reachable, but how do we find that? How do we stop this? How do we start somehow curb this? I know we ain't gonna never stop that. I know. I'm not foolish. However, how do we find a way to start to curb it?
First of all, every single time you and I have an opportunity to encourage, to help, to do something positive for somebody, we should take that opportunity. Guess what, though? I can't, there's, at the end of the day, it ain't me reaching you, it's you reaching yourself.
But you know, Mr. Lang, I leave, do you realize that there are times that I believe it might have happened to you, where you're driving down the road and you just happen to see a young man or a young lady, and the small, still voice says to you, say something to them, or you know, be uplifted that person, and you just drive right by, just staring at them rather than pulling on the side and say, excuse me. what's your name? And you don't have a small conversation right there, and then you could curb something from someone. You could just switch their mind as easy, as simple as that, you know. But
absolutely.
What do we do?
I was driving.
Try and take us over, and we just drive by.
I agree with you 100%. I was driving today. Again, a young man was on the side of the road, unkempt guy, you know, he's one of them guys. He lives on the street, really. And he said, you can help me out, please. But I was driving, I drove straight past him. And then as I got down the road, I said, you know, that same small voice said, listen, you turn around and you go and give him some $1,000. Which I did. So I understand, you know what I mean? And he said to me, thank you very much, sir. And very, was very respectful. And I said, man, listen, you take care of yourself, brother.
But, and that right there could have been your way of helping him to avoid stealing today.
So
what he needed had you not done that.
Yeah, you do your part. That's all I could say is we each do our part. But at the end of the day, sometimes we have to reach ourselves. Sometimes our depth of despair, our stories that we have told ourselves are so profoundly embedded that only we could retell ourselves a different story. By some stroke of influence or something, maybe we get to retell our stories and come out of the darkness that we're in.
Yeah. All right, so good
Thank
day.
You for calling. Thank you so much. This text says, great show as usual. A lot of people are saying government ain't doing enough to stop crime, which the government will not do what it could do to stop crime, because if they do it, will makes people so uncomfortably in a position next election. That's a very interesting thought that person has there. let's be clear now. We could reduce murder significantly, is what this person is saying. We could. You curb freedoms in this country? You curb freedoms in this country, and we'll reduce murder and crime. Let's believe that. We saw that in the pandemic. He said, yeah, y'all cussing, carry on, and get rid of that government. This text is great show as usual. Don't think that getting rid of the guns will solve the problem, because people will just find another way to kill another person. That's true. That could happen too, but guns make it easier. See, we have a social behavior problem in the Bahamas. We just don't like rules. So now we are emotionally distorted and out of control. Society being, we don't know how to behave our emotions, I think is what he's trying to say. So Mr. Lang, with all this sweet heart and going on, I'm super, super surprised more murders are not taking place in the Bahamas. This text, Mr. Lang, you realize any one of us could have been on Prince Charles Road when the shooting took place and could have gotten killed. These monsters need to get triple life sentence. It says, if I get in government, I'm breaking the Constitution to break this crime problem. There you go. He's saying the same thing. Okay. Take draconian measures. That's what you're saying. So Mr. Lang, if he pulled for the Miami Dolphins, I could see a person could be potentially dangerous. He has of losing. That's cool. So this crime situation will get super worse before it get better. I hope not. So Mr. Lang, they will find out who do the killing on Prince Charles, because the idiots will go on social media and claim they did it. For fame, right now, they listening to these shows saying, see, soldier, they talking about me. They lack attention. Wow. That's crazy. It says, excellence responds to knowledge and application. No relationship, no change. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take our final break, but before we do, let me remind you, Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs live at the Amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi Ellis, and Ira Storr and the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music, sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admission, $50. VIP, $75. Skyport's also available. Get your tickets now at bahamastickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it after this final break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that.
Yeah.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to these remaining moments of the show. So glad that you could join us. If you want to give us a call in these final moments, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. I do not hold out much hope that, for instance, this year we'll have under 100 murders, or next year or the year after that. Not based on the present conduct of our society, meaning our individual choices, our family paradigms, our cultural and social norms. I think they will all support a continuing elevated presence of violence in our community. I'm sorry if I'm pessimistic, but that's without some profound changes. And I'm talking even at the level of public affairs, like in terms of what the government does, and they would have to be profound, and they will make us uncomfortable. They will, that person who texted that, we will have to be uncomfortable to become more at ease with the state of violence and crime in the country. We will have to be more uncomfortable. You can't do the same things you have been doing and expect a different result. It's not possible. So some things will have to change. And it would be interesting to evaluate the family in our country and then project forward how those dynamics play on the psyche of Bahamian young people, in particular Bahamian males. To see the extent to which, I don't know, but to see the extent to which a child reared in a two-parent household where they are lovingly nurtured and supported and kept. How that child comes into behavioral practice in the face of conflict, in the face of abuse, in the face of disappointment, versus the child reared in a two-parent household with conflict at regular play, versus a child in a single-parent household, one where the parent is a male, one where the parent is a female, and then depending on the behavioral practices of either, how that plays into the psyche of the male or female child, or in particular male, going forward, when it comes to their approach to dealing with conflicts, frustration, disappointment, discouragements, and hurt. And see what that tells us about what the best situation is for child. Now, research tells us the best possibility for a child long-term is a two-parent household, lovingly together, nurturing, supporting, and checking that child. The research supports. So if we are raising children in households that are more often than not that, why do we get surprised by the outcomes we see? And the outcomes aren't only murder, you know. The outcomes are dysfunctions in many other ways in our children. We have many a young people who their great danger is not that they will murder, it's not that they will rape somebody, it's not that they will rob some store. Their great dysfunction is that they shall not come to manifest their great potential because their attitude says, I ain't even about that life. Right? And so the thing about it is, you know, is you try to give the child the best odds for thriving in the world. That's the best you can do. Try to give the child the best odds for thriving. Now, that often requires a cooperation between the parents of that child or the guardians of that child, because sometimes the parent isn't around because they couldn't be around for either illness or for death or for incarceration or for some other reason. But if they are around, that requires a cooperation. And that means mommy and daddy trying to model before the child values of passion, empathy, gentleness, patience, love, respect, honor, selves, that kind of thing, and guiding them, you know, checking them on their behavior, their conduct, repairing them when they are guilty and ashamed. That's the work we are called to. And I call parenting our magnus opus. You could walk around and say, oh, I did this in my career. I did that in my career. I accomplished this and I accomplished that. But the magnus opus of our lives is our children. And whether we have done our part, you can't guarantee anything for them now. Is that at some point they got choices to make for themselves. But whether we have done our part to guide those choices, to influence those choices in the way of good, in the way of God. Stex says, good afternoon. Mr. Lang, the heart of these young men have waxed cold. There is a lack of love, compassion, empathy for our fellow brother and sister. It's a matter of the heart. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you, in fact, 135%. As Texas, Mr. Lang, we have to get these youngsters back in Sunday school. That is the foundation of where we started. It has a proven track record. It is not an old-fashioned concept. The Sunday Sabbath School is a movement of principles. Now, listen, I am not going to deny that. I'm a product of Sunday school. I'm not going to deny that. But honestly, we have to get back them in Sunday school. Like, okay, how's that going to happen? Parenting and the Sunday, the church, and the child getting the Sunday school. But maybe the church could start that trying to get the children back to Sunday school, you know. Maybe that could happen. It's Texas Happy New Year, sir. Another reason why we won't see reduction in crime is because we have a large number of Bahamians who belong to Facebook groups that share the location where the police are having roadblocks. Wow. Working against the police. That's not good. This text says, if the prime minister does not talk crime, will never stop. Or if he talk crime, will stop. Mm-hmm. Well, the prime minister has a leadership role and his words carry weight. And so he can use his very large pulpit platform to encourage. I've often believed that our prime ministers don't do that enough. They don't visit the hearts of the people of this country with philosophies of life, with sharings of the heart. Right? They might not think that's their thing, but that's leadership. Leadership, a component of leadership is motivation. A component of leadership is encouragement. You know, a component of leadership is inspiring others to do things because they feel like they want to do it. So it's a big platform. It's a big podium. And, you know, it's a great privilege, a heavy responsibility, but can do wonders if approached in the right way. We don't need our prime ministers to be perfect. None will ever. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Are we good? Am I good now? Can I? Okay. So I'm saying our prime ministers, and we don't need them to be perfect. We shouldn't expect that. No man will be, you know. Do they need to be saints? Man, who is? We all have issues. But if they model that human capacity to grow, to develop, to thrive, to strive, to succeed and fail and rebound and all that kind of stuff, maybe they serve as an inspiration for some citizens out there. And in that, help to correct some of these issues that we have, at least reduce them. And that's the most you could ask of any soul, prime minister or not. Ladies and gentlemen, so glad you could join us today. God bless you. I trust and hope that you have a wonderful evening. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road through the storm. Whatever weather.
This
is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.